Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino, breaking down UFC Fight Night, Sanhagen vs. Font. We have 12 fights on this card, one five-rounder, that's the main event, Sanhagen and Font. Lock is scheduled for 6 p.m. Eastern. The weigh-ins went pretty well. I don't think we have to worry about any fights getting canceled. I'm going to try to make this one short and sweet because it's getting late on a Friday night. We have some PFL coming up. I don't really have any plays for the PFL, but I'm going to look into the card, see if I want to throw anything down. So if you're following me on Twitter, check that out, at TommyZ_MMA. If I do place any bets, I will post my plays. But it's getting late. We're about 24 hours away from the card as I record this, so I want to get this out as soon as possible. So let's jump right into it. Our first fight of the night is in the flyweight division. We have Ode Osborne taking on Asu Alimbayev. Alimbayev making his debut. He looks to be pretty good. He's got very strong wrestling. Striking is solid. He has good kicks. He kicks more than really anything. Not well known for his striking credentials. He mostly wants to get the fight to the ground. I think I'm going to be on an island with this one. I am rolling with the dog here. I am very dog heavy on this card, and Ode is going to be the first dog of the night. I can see this one going two ways. Osborne could look absolutely incredible and win this fight early, or he can get absolutely dominated in the wrestling and just kind of get gassed out as the fight goes along. But I feel like Ode, he has the experience. He has fought some high-level guys. He's been training with Aljamain Sterling, Patchy Mix. As you probably know, Aljamain Sterling is scheduled to fight very shortly for his title, so he's obviously training hard. So it's a good camp to be involved in, even if he's not there full time. Definitely some good guys to be rolling with if you're looking to fight a grappler, which he is. So I know I'm out on a limb on this one, taking a chance here, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to trust the gut. I feel like Ode can get the job done, and I'm going to roll with him. Our next fight is in the, well, actually, it's a catchweight now, 147 pounds. The reason for that is Dennis Bazukia missed weight. So we have Sean Woodson taking on Dennis Bazukia. Bazukia missed weight. He came in on 3 days' notice, so you can't really hold that against him. He missed by, I think, a half a pound, which is not the end of the world. But long and short here, despite the fact that Bazukia has taken this fight on short notice, I'm not a big Woodson fan. This will be the fourth opponent that Woodson was supposed to face on this card. He is pretty chinny. He's tall, he's long, he's rangy, which makes him dangerous. It's tough to deal with. But he is chinny, and I was picking him with his last opponent that he was supposed to face. I thought he was going to be able to get by him. I wasn't really confident in that play. I'm kind of happy to be picking against him because I don't really trust him. He's been a huge favorite in a few of his fights, and he's either failed to come through or squeaked by. So I don't like Woodson. Don't think he's very good. I think he cuts. I mean, he's way too big for the division. He looks like a stick figure out there. I don't know why he doesn't just put some muscle on his frame and move up a division. Probably because he thinks he's going to get ragdolled up a division. So I don't think Woodson's very good, long and short. So anytime anybody with any decent skills, ability to crack Woodson's chin or wrestle Woodson, I'm going to roll with that guy. And so I'm rolling with Bazukia here. I think he can grapple a little bit. I think he can win. I think he can land big shots in the striking exchanges. I think he's a tough kid. And he's making his debut. So we'll see. On short notice, these things can go really bad or they can go really well. But I'm okay with it. He's a dog here. We're rolling with dogs early and often on this card. And I think Bazukia gets the job done. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have Jake Hadley taking on Cody Durden. Durden is a guy that I have backed quite a few times as an underdog. It's tough to pick against him, but I have to do it here. Hadley is very skilled. He's a very sharp striker, and his submission game is really good. The thing about Durden is his wrestling is very strong. He's able to take down pretty much any one of his opponents and control, which he absolutely could do in this fight, but he does put himself in bad spots. He has been caught in tough spots that he's escaped in a couple of his recent fights. This is a position where I think he could get cracked on the feet and dropped and submitted, or he can wrestle. He does tend to slow down a little bit and get himself put in a bad spot. And Hadley is very, very good with his submission game. He's not a strong wrestler by any means. He can be taken down, but his submissions are good. And if he catches Durden with something, he could get him out of there. So I think there's multiple paths to victory here for Hadley. I think he can win on the feet. That's not really a debate. He's definitely the better striker. And when it goes to the ground, if he just plays his cards right, he could definitely catch a submission. And as the fight goes along, Durden's cardio not necessarily the best. He does tend to slow down. He is tough. He is scrappy. He will fight through fatigue, which I do like about him. But I just think the skill level here is on the side of Hadley, and I think Hadley gets the job done. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Billy Quarantillo taking on Damon Jackson. Two guys that I am a huge fan of. Love watching both these guys fight. Generally picking them in all of their fights, so it's tough for me to pick a winner here, but I have to go with Billy Q. His striking is cleaner. His volume is very good. He can grapple. He can be taken down and controlled, which can work to the advantage of Damon Jackson, but he does scramble well. His cardio is good. He always keeps a high pace. I think he's more dangerous on the feet. He could catch Jackson. Jackson has been knocked out a few times, so there's always that possibility. Both guys coming off of a knockout loss, so we'll see how they both kind of start this fight. We'll see if they're tentative or not. But when the fight's rolling, I think the cardio, not the cardio, but the volume is in favor of Billy Q. I think he's a more technical striker, more dangerous on the feet. And in the grappling exchanges, I think it could be back and forth. Jackson is extremely dangerous, obviously, but I have to roll with Billy Q in this one. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Jeremiah Wells taking on Carlston Harris. Back on the dog train here. Carlston Harris, last I checked, was plus 105. He started this, when this fight got booked, he was a pretty sizable underdog. He's now working his way back to even money. And really what this comes down to, both guys are extremely explosive. Both guys have power. Both guys have strong grappling. But Wells was dropped and hurt on multiple occasions in his last fight against Matthew Semelsberger. And you never know what you're going to get from Semelsberger. We saw it in this most recent fight last week. He fought what should have been a much lesser opponent, and he ended up getting finished in that fight. So that fight didn't age very well for Jeremiah Wells. He was barely able to survive. A lot of refs would have jumped in and stopped that fight. So he could be coming off of a loss. He was able to squeak by with a decision. And Harris is a very opportunistic grappler. So not only does Harris have the ability to crack Wells and hurt him and put him out that way, but if he hurts him and goes to the ground and grabs a submission, Wells is not going to get out of it. The Harris submissions are too good. His grappling, his top game is too strong. So in a fight that's pretty volatile, both guys big power, both guys can grapple, both guys dangerous, both guys go for it, I'm happy to be on the underdog in this one. I think Carlston Harris gets the job done. He probably, either way this fight goes, I think it finishes inside the distance. So I like Harris at the plus money and potential sprinkle on a finish as well. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Kyler Phillips taking on Ronny Barcelos. To me, here we are, another underdog. Barcelos feels like the safest of the underdogs on this card for me. I've been a big backer of Kyler Phillips in the past, but The Hyler and Paiva fight really opened my eyes to the flaws in his game. And that was a fight where he dominated early. First round, absolute domination. Should have been a 10-8. The fight should have ended in a draw. But, second round, he loses. Third round, he loses. Ends up losing the fight because they didn't score. Only, I think, one judge scored a 10-8. The other two scored a 10-9 in that first round. But either way, Phillips came out against a smaller fighter, dominant, and then gassed. And then we saw in his next fight, he fought an absolute trash can in Marcelo Rojo, who's won one of his last like six fights. He's no longer in the UFC. And again, Phillips looked really good in the first round. He absolutely looked to be the better fighter. Second round, you could see he was falling off. He was a huge favorite in that fight. And I'm sitting there going, no way. There's no way he does this again. He's fading. You could see it. It was visible. And it's not like he fell off a cliff, but you could definitely see him slowing down. You could see Rojo feeling confident to get back in the fight. Thankfully, in that situation, Phillips was just a much better fighter, was able to get Rojo out of there just because it was, just levels. But in this situation, Hione Barcelos is not only a good striker, he's a very good grappler. He's, we've seen him go three rounds multiple times. He's extremely dangerous. I think it's really crazy that he's the underdog in this fight because even if you wait to bet this fight, Kyler Phillips comes out, has a good first round, wins the first round, that's definitely possible. Hyione Barcelos will be a huge dog coming into round two. But I think Barcelos down the stretch just dominates this fight. And I definitely think he can get Phillips out of there. But him being the dog, I'm not too worried about the finish. I just kind of want to get the win. But I am very high on Barcelos. Very, very high. This feels like the Derrick Lewis one last week, where it just didn't make sense to me that Derrick Lewis was the underdog. And the fact that you could get Derrick Lewis at plus 225 by knockout was insane to me. So this fight kind of feels the same. Barcelos, the more well-rounded fighter, in terms of being able to keep up the pace over three rounds. I mean, he's not a cardio machine himself, but he definitely has better cardio than Kyler Phillips. Kyler Phillips coming off a suspension for PEDs as well. So if his cardio slowed in the past, I would imagine it's only going to get worse. He's had a long layoff. We'll see what happens, but to me, Barcelos as an underdog, absolutely love this play. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Ignacio Baja Mendez taking on Ludovic Klein. Klein is a guy that I'm done with. I don't I the guy's he's a good striker, solid striking. He can grapple, but he's just a low level UFC fighter. He's not a terrible fighter by any means. He's definitely dangerous. He's competitive in all of his fights, but I just don't think he's great. I don't think he'll ever crack the top 15 in the UFC. I just don't think he has that. Little bit undersized, and in this fight, he's giving up a lot in terms of height and reach. Baja Mendez, very good striker, durable guy. We saw in his debut, he got hurt really bad, and was able to fight well for three full rounds. And he seems like the total package, at least in terms of being a solid prospect. He's got a long way to go, but in this matchup, I feel like he has the advantage. His length is going to come into play. He's the more dangerous finisher in my eyes. I just think overall he's just a more well-rounded, more dangerous fighter. And I think he's the favorite for a reason and probably one of my more confident plays on this card. Our next fight is in the light heavyweight division. We have Tanner Boser taking on Alexa Kammer. Really, this is two pretty low-level fighters. I thought Kammer was the man. I was one of those that just was sold on the fact that he was teammates with Stipe Miocic, and somehow that was going to make him like special. I don't know. But I think he sucks. I don't think he's good at all. His boxing's good. He tends to slow down. He hasn't shown really an ability to finish since he got into the UFC. He's had a long layoff. Don't know what he's going to look like here in his return. He could look like an absolute killer. He could look like the prospect that I thought he was. But I've lost enough money on this guy, and I just can't back him anymore. Tanner Boser, also not the greatest. I've definitely lost some money on Tanner Boser as well. But he does have good power, solid leg kicks, pretty durable guy. He's fought a lot at heavyweight. This is one of those fights where I would just kind of go with the underdog initially, just because it's two bad fighters. But because Alexa Kammer is the underdog, I just can't back this guy again. So I'm rolling with Tanner Boser. I think he wins. Not a lot of confidence. If you wanted to avoid this fight altogether, I may. I try to bet every fight just because I spent the time to break it down. But this one, not a lot of confidence in Boser. And, don't know what Kammer's going to look like after the layoff. Again, he could come looking like an absolute killer. But I like Boser. I don't think I'm going to do much with this fight. And that's all there is to it. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Gavin Tucker taking on Diego Lopez. Lopez, we saw him in a short notice debut a few months ago. Actually showed up pretty well. Came out looking explosive, throwing big bombs. He showed he has good submissions. And, he was live. He was the biggest underdog on the card. Definitely fought his ass off and, put up a good showing. Taking on Gavin Tucker, who is pretty well-rounded. Very good wrestling. Solid striking. Heavy kicks. I like his pace. Now, he's also coming off of a long layoff. So, that's good and bad. His last fight, he did take a pretty significant knockout. So, it's good to see that he did take some time off. But you don't ever know what he's going to look like when he comes back. In this case, though, he does have the grappling credentials to take Lopez down and control him. Obviously, there is threat with Lopez's submissions on the ground. But again, Gavin Tucker as an underdog, he has good striking. His wrestling is very good. If you're looking at this from a DraftKings perspective, if he doesn't get just clipped right off the bat, I feel like he's going to put up a pretty good score. He will land takedowns. I have no doubt in my mind. Again, that's, if he doesn't get cracked right off the bat. But if he's in this fight and this fight goes, a couple rounds or the whole distance, I feel very confident that he is going to land takedowns. He's going to land four or five takedowns. So it's all going to be dependent on, can he hold Lopez down and can he land damage when they're on the ground? And of course, stay safe. Don't get submitted. But I like Gavin Tucker. Again, another underdog. I was actually pretty shocked to see he was, somewhat of a sizable underdog. And I don't know. I like Tucker. I think he can get the job done. And I think he could put up a big score DFS-wise, regardless of how the fight turns out. As long as, it's not an early stoppage, but I think he's going to land some takedowns, ground and pound. And at his best, I think he's a better fighter. So as long as he comes back and he's kind of the old fighter that he was before, I think he gets the job done. Our next fight is in the light heavyweight division. We have Dustin Jacoby taking on Kennedy Njukwu. This is, again, I like Njukwu here. He's very big. He's long. He's rangy. He's a little bit plodding, which is good and bad. Starts off somewhat slow in most of his fights, but as the fights go on, he just keeps pushing forward and kind of puts pressure on guys. Not a huge volume guy, but definitely a big pressure fighter. Jacoby, very good kickboxing. He's dangerous in that aspect. If if you're going to knock him for anything, it's when the fights kind of get grimy and, guys clinch him, guys try to take him down, grapple him. That's where he kind of, he can't do what he wants to do. He wants to strike at range. Njoku, while he's not like a wrestler at heart, he definitely has shown the ability to wrestle. He's very strong in the clinch, very dangerous elbows. And in this matchup, I feel like the plan for him will be to get this fight close, clinch, land elbows, look for takedowns, try to grind him out on the ground, potentially look for submissions. And I think that's going to be the key for Njoku. If he can make this fight ugly, make this fight dirty, he will be able to control it. He will be able to kind of keep Jacoby from doing what he wants to do. And I think he can get the job done. That brings us to our co-main event. We have Jessica Andrade taking on Tatiana Suarez in the women's strawweight division. Andrade is extremely dangerous on the feet. Obviously, she has big power, and we've seen her knock out quite a few high-level fighters. But her kryptonite has been grappling. She can be wrestled, and she can be controlled and dominated on the ground. And Tatiana Suarez is an Olympic-level wrestler. And despite the fact that we don't see her as much as, you know, I would like to see her, because I think she's a championship material, championship fighter. She's had some injuries in the past that have kind of derailed her. But she definitely has the grappling to take Andrade down. And you know, she could finish the fight on the ground, obviously. So she has been taking long, long layoffs. Hasn't had such a long layoff in between her last fight and this fight, which is good. She's hopefully going to be a little bit more active, which is probably going to do nothing but help her in the long run. To me, it's a simple fact of Suarez, don't get clipped on the feet. Get the fight to the ground as soon as possible. Look for submissions. They will be there. Ground and pound, that will also be there. She can definitely control this fight for all three rounds if she really had to. She has the grappling to do it, and Andrade has shown that she can be kind of ragdolled at times. She's very strong, but she does have issues with grappling, and Tatiana Suarez is about as high-level a grappler as you're going to see, definitely in the strawweight division. So Suarez, just take her down. Ground and pound, look for submissions, control, 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 and that should be the path to victory here. And finally, in our main event, we have Corey Sanhagen taking on Rob Font. Sanhagen was initially training to fight Umar Nurmagomedov. That was going to be a very interesting fight because, obviously, you know, Corey is a guy with title hopes, and he has, you know, put together a nice little run since losing to the champion Aljamain Sterling. Well, he lost to Peter Yan along the way as well, but very, very close fight. You could even argue that Sanhagen won that fight. Yan did enough to win, but there was definitely a lot of good for Sanhagen in that fight. But he's put on, you know, a nice little run of victories. He's very good. He's very dangerous. And taking on Rob Font, who also very good, very dangerous, extremely durable. Font taking this fight on short notice, obviously, because, you know, Umar backed out about, I think, right around a month ago. So Font's had 3 weeks, 4 weeks to prepare. And I have no doubt Rob Font can fight five rounds on, you know, 3 weeks' notice. And fight well. But Corey Sanhagen is extremely technical. He's fast. He's dangerous. He throws knees from really anywhere. His elbows are extremely dangerous. It's really a high-level technical guy against a high-level technical guy, being Corey Sanhagen, against a very, very skilled, very durable Rob Font. And kind of the way I see this fight going is Sanhagen just landing and moving. He has very good movement. Staying away from Font's power. Picking him apart at range. Mixing in some grappling. He obviously showed that he can grapple. We saw him take down Marlon Vera just over and over again, which was absolutely insane to watch. Was not expecting that. But Corey has the overall skill set. He's tall. He's extremely dangerous. Very good mindset. He was training for a very, very high-level guy. And I think he's going to be able to pick Font apart. I do think, given the fact that Font is taking this on short notice, if Corey is having a lot of success, as I expect him to, I could see him getting Font out of there. I do think this fight goes a little ways because, as I said, Rob Font's extremely durable. Like, both guys are durable. Both guys are very good. So this fight, if you're playing cash, obviously DFS is a stackable fight. No reason not to. You're going to get quite a bit of action in this fight. You're probably going to get three or four, all, potentially five rounds. And it's going to be, you know, Rob Font's going to put some volume up too. And it'll be a competitive fight. I just think Corey Sandhagen is the more technical guy, more well-rounded, going to be the more prepared guy for this particular fight. And I think Sandhagen gets the job done. If you're looking to bet it, I haven't looked too much at the pricing of everything, but I know you could get Corey Sandhagen over a round and a half at a semi-decent price. And I kind of like that because I don't think we're going to get a quick finish. Probably get over a round and a half and, you know, just try to take a little bit off the price from Sandhagen. Maybe sprinkle inside the distance, but overall, I think Sandhagen wins the fight. I just think he's the more technical fighter. Even on a full camp, I think Sandhagen's the better fighter. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be fun. It's actually going to be a fun card. Obviously, I'm on, I believe, five underdogs. So I'm expecting a lot of wild shit to happen. But that's really it. 12 fights all broken down. I will update everything on Twitter. You can see my picks on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. If there's any changes to the card, if there's anything that pops up, I will post about it. I will have all my picks up there. I will have my bets. And if you're not following me, I am at TommyZ_MMA. And that's all across the board. Instagram, Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. TikTok. So everything's up there. And we've had a hell of a run. Last really month has been great. Last week, 9-2 overall on picks. The bet card that I posted, I believe, was 7-2. I did some live stuff, which was pretty solid as well. I think I was 3-1 on live picks. But either way, it has been good. I am going to be on the KegCast, which, if you're unfamiliar, the sports keg is basically, his name's Jason. He's a professional sports bettor. He's been doing it for about 15 years. That's his only source of income. And he has a great Discord with a lot of great guys in there. He does live shows for NASCAR, live shows for MMA. And the live betting aspect of the shows are great. The entertainment value of the shows are great. I know a lot of people get kind of sick of hearing the UFC commentators, which I often do. You know, little change of pace. I am on those shows and I'm giving out live plays. The guys, there's usually four or five guys on there giving out live plays, talking through the card. It's a great, great show. It's on YouTube. Just search Sports Keg, all one word, or the KegCast. You should find it. I post the links on my Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. So it's not too hard to find. And usually we start, if there's Xfinity races, starts a little bit early. Talk through the Xfinity race and then leads into the UFC, which I do believe that's going to happen on Saturday. So check that out. I can't express enough. When you talk to somebody who bets for a living and legitimately has a system that works, it's really, you're really doing yourself a disservice not following along and at least just trying to take bits and pieces from what he does. He's up 105 units. I believe it was 105 units last I looked on the year, which is absolutely phenomenal. There's no bullshit. The guy's, he's legit, and it's fun being on the show, and I'm happy to be a part of it. and I hope you guys are, you're on there and watching along. But that's my rant. So I tried to make this a quick one. Now I'm going over 30 minutes, so it's not as quick as I would like to. But yeah, check out the KegCast. Check me out at TommyZ_MMA on all social media platforms. And until next time, good luck on Saturday.